Welcome to Mrugashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. It's brought to you in association with DigiTales. I'm Radha Krishnan. Let's begin.
About 14 years ago, she quit journalism to pursue her passion of becoming an entrepreneur and helping ordinary people manage their money better. Rest, as they say, is history. I'm in conversation with Shrikala Bhashyam, Managing Partner, RS Consultants. We talk about how efficiently all of us can manage our money.
Hi Shrikala, welcome to Mrugashira. It's great to have you on board. I just want to ask you one thing. In the last 14 years that you have been at the helm of RS Consultants, you've seen a lot of ups and downs. You've seen a lot of economic turmoils, as we call it. But specifically during the pandemic last year, what were some of the typical issues that people faced more from financial planning point of view, because a lot of jobs went topsy-turvy?
Thank you, Radha, for having me on your show. It's an honor to be here. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sure all of us in our lifetime, I think we have never come across a situation like this. Something close to this happened in 2008 when the Lehman crisis hit the global equity markets and debt markets across the globe. But then there, you know, there was some kind of there was hope that, you know, it is not going to last forever. And this kind of job loss also was not there because it was more with respect to IT industry. But this pandemic, you know, all of us staying at home and locked up and not stepping out, I'm sure it is a first of its experience for everybody. And the repercussions also was like scary, to put it mildly, because as you said, a lot of people lost jobs, and even bigger challenge was you didn't know whether you're going to get back those jobs, and if so, when.
Correct.
So obviously everybody panicked, and none of us had prepared for this kind of a scenario. So the people who have been into financial planning, they were kind of okay. Even they panicked. In fact, I always felt, you know, last year if you had asked me, I think rich and the very poor were hit very badly, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
The super rich, I'm saying, you know, people who are entrepreneurs, who are running their own businesses, they had a fixed cost, they had to run their business, but there was no cash flow, absolutely. You know, even till April, May. So even a person who's running a 100 crore business, and typically they would be having a cash flow of what, 4 or 5 crores. If that is zero and your costs are still there, so they were also hit very badly. And this is for the first time, I would say, this pandemic, it hit the rich and the poor. Not so badly the middle class and upper middle class professionals who were in the IT sector. As you know, I think the job losses were pretty restrained there. I mean, there was a pay cut, but there was not, the job loss scenario was not so bad.
What's the kind of impact you would have seen as a result of pay cut? Because I guess pay cut was something that probably would have happened universally across sectors.
See, pay cut was handled well by people who always kind of managed to generate surplus out of their earnings.
Mm-hmm.
Matlab, so which obviously means, you know, people who manage their earnings very well. So generally, people when they invest, people who get into the investment habit, they are not going to put their entire money. You know, if you are earning 100 rupees, you only invest 20 or 25 rupees, 25% or 30 rupees out of your total earnings. Okay? You still maintain yourself that emergency fund. And this is typically the behavior of people who are 40 plus, or people even in younger age who are very mature, who know that they need to plan for future. So that segment of the population was not hit. But unfortunately, that percentage of the population is also very small.
Uh-huh.
So the ones who were not planned or who had their fears, it causes, if I can call it, you know, they panicked. The SIPs got stopped. And at that point of time, even equity markets, debt markets, both were doing pretty badly. So people literally panicked, and it was like, you know, let me have whatever money I have. On top of it, you don't know about the health condition. You know, the pandemic was something, it was such a big risk. You don't know if COVID hits you, you are going to be alive.
Correct.
Okay, so that was another unplanned risk, I would say. Though all of us know that, you know, one day we are all going to die and you have to plan for your death. But I think when it comes out of the blue, you are always never prepared for it. So that was the scenario. And you know, so, and we also saw a lot of people, you know, stopping SIPs and whatever money they had, they wanted to keep it in their bank account. If something happens to me, my family should not suffer. So all that, you know, knee-jerk reactions happened for the first few months.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you brought about two points. One is about financial maturity, and the other is about, planning and having some amount of planning around when you're around 40. So, you know, I just want to know, why is it so difficult for us to get into a kind of a financial discipline early on in our careers, or, you know, early on when we are very young?
Yeah, good question. I tell you what happens. I think typically most of us, I mean, I think nowadays everybody is doing masters and, you know, postgraduate qualifications. So on an average, I think you start earning around 24, 25. You know, even if you earn before that, it may not be a great salary, but well-qualified professionals typically start earning around this age, okay? And first few years, you want to have fun because you want to enjoy that financial freedom. You are used to pocket monies or parents giving you money or lower salary. You just want to enjoy that new earning and new good bank balance account. Before you realize, you know, those couple of years becomes 4 or 5 years, and sometimes, you know, even till 30, 32, I see that people don't realize the seriousness of the necessity to get into the investing mode. So before they realize, they are in their 30 and 32, then some people get married, some people buy car, then before you realize, children come, and so that surplus never happens from your bank account. And so this income minus expenditure is equal to surplus is never going to allow you that. So you always have to get into the mode of income minus surplus. So, and I think suddenly, as in you're getting into your mid-30s, you look around, your friends are doing well, and now you yourself are much more responsible because you may have a kid, or you're responsible for your spouse, you have a home loan. That is when it starts hitting you, array, I don't have enough. And now today we are all living in this world of uncertainty, you know, one with respect to life, one with respect to your job. Nobody can take their job for guarantee, isn't it? I mean, you may lose a job, you may get a job again, but then it's not necessary that you will get the same pay, or you will get it, immediately. So in fact, I always say now, my famous line is, today we can, as earlier, 15 years ago when I started this practice, we used to assume that if a guy is earning X amount of money, X plus 10%, 15% year on year is given. Today, that income may go up, may not go up, or it can become zero also. So we have to plan for all three scenarios. And that fearfulness, I mean, and also at younger age, you are much more confident, no? And I mean, you are the risk-taking person, and you feel, I can manage everything. As you get older, I think that element of risk-taking ability also comes down. And also you have financial responsibilities, and that is when you realize that you need to plan for your future.
You must have seen a lot of professionals here. I just want to ask you, how do you feel, are they better financial planners, or are they, because our industry is also a little flamboyant in that sense, right, compared to some of the other sectors or industries. So how do you see the professionals here from a financial money management point of view?
Not only your industry, I think most creative industry professionals think that money is not important.
Okay.
They may be good negotiators when it comes to pay. I don't know about that because I'm not on the other side. But I've seen, you know, they don't attach too much money into it. And also, I feel there is that false security. You know, they think that, you know, I have that ability to earn. You know, this is a skill set I have and I'm not going to retire. Unlike other industries. So a lot of people, professionals, you know, it could be your advertising or communication, they feel that they're going to work forever. I mean, this is my experience. Even with media professionals I've seen, nobody talks about retirement there. No, they think that as long as I'm alive, I'm going to work. It may not be for 100% salary level, potential level, but they are very confident that I can earn some amount of money. But this pandemic has changed the game completely. So now all industry, whether it is media, communication, IT, everybody knows that they can lose a job and they can be without income. So that is a big change, and everybody is kind of waking up. In fact, just last week I had a client from your industry who, you know, we had sent a plan 10 years ago, had never looked at it. She walked into her office and said, you know, like, I need to put all my money together. I know where it is. And you know, you guys had sent a plan. I know that it may or may not valid, but I want to get into some, you know, basics of my putting my finances in order. So that is the example I can right away give you. And that is the change in attitude.
Women particularly, they don't know how to manage their earnings efficiently, right? And some of them make, you know, some very basic mistakes in that sense. What's your suggestion or advice to women professionals?
Yeah, I mean, you're bang on when you say women don't manage. It's a million-dollar question to me also. I don't know why women are so smart in all other things. Somehow when it comes to money management, either there is a belief that I don't understand it, or maybe because, you know, it's they're not expected to do, I would say. You know, and even in this era of, you know, feminism and equality, somehow women don't pay so much attention to managing money. It's always kind of outsourced to another family member. Even a single, you know, today we have a lot of women who are single and, you know, who have to take care of their wealth or income. Even they tend to outsource this portion to their sibling, their parents or somebody. But there are also a good amount of people who are very savvy with respect to money, and they are even so smart enough that they manage their spouse's wealth also. We are also seeing that side of the story also. And basically, I would put it, I think maybe, you know, I mean, I always, my famous example, I think women are, it's like equivalent to driving, I think. Even if you're good by default, you're considered you are not good at driving for women.
I think, so is it some kind of social conditioning that, you know,
exactly, I mean, I would put it across that way, you know, because otherwise, why is it? I mean, you are such a smart manager at home, at workplace, we have women CEOs. I mean, that percentage is small. What I'm saying is, like, for instance, I'm in this profession. I'm in the business of money management, and I don't deal only with women. I only deal with a good amount of men. So I think it's just social condition. Maybe you're not expected to know. And that is changing, thankfully, you know, and very glad that there are so many women who are learning. In fact, even people like us insist that, you know, when there's a family discussion, both husband and wife should sit across for the meeting, simply because, you know, today we are living in an uncertain world. If something happens to your spouse, at least you should know how to manage whatever wealth is there with the family. So it's very important to have the financial quotient in your brain.
And if I don't have it, where do I start? I mean, what is your advice to women who are still thinking that it is somebody else's job to manage their money?
I think the first is to, if you are an income earner, if you are a professional earning your own income, please start looking at your bank statement. What is the money you get? What is the kind of expenses you have? Start with a basic Excel, okay, so that whether you are earning more than what you need to spend, that is the first step. And then read up. Today, you know, thanks to internet, we have basic, you know, plenty of information is available on the net. And also, if necessary, you can always reach out to people like us who are there. And, you know, we are all giving free advice only. You know, we have the distribution model, so we don't even charge a fee. So please consult a professional, do the basic reading, but start counting your money literally.
Okay.
You know, at least make note of where you are earning and where your expense is going. Whether you are living in surplus or you are living in deficit, your credit card bills, everything. Just take note of things. That is the first step. And jot down where you are spending. Once you do this, then you come into, you know, investment options, savings and all those things. At least know what you earn and what you spend. At least have a control over your bank accounts.
Good, that's good. So that also brings me to the next chunk of, you know, community that we have, which is the gig economy folks, right? How can they plan their finances better? What's your suggestion or advice to them?
Yeah, I think with the gig economy, it is not guaranteed that, you know, X amount of money is guaranteed, you know, on a month-on-month basis they're going to earn, isn't it?
Correct.
So what happens typically, these kind of professionals, what you should do is, like recently we are also getting a lot of people who are more like freelancers. I suppose their lifestyle and their financial needs also will be similar. So what we tell them is, when you earn whatever is you have earned, 50% of it you please put it aside for your future, or, you know, don't touch it or consider it's not your income. Because typically what happens, these kind of professionals, you know, some months are dull and some months are very good.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. So in fact, a couple of days ago only, I was speaking to a couple who are both are freelancers. So I told them, at the end of the month, if you're left with X amount of money, which is your surplus for that particular month, please put it aside, 50% of it, and we create an emergency fund. So once that kitty gets bigger, then we will move it to long-term investments or savings and things like that. Because here, these people are always perennially worried that I may not have, you know, income in the next few months. So in that process, what happens? They sit on that money in their savings account, and with a debit card in your hand, you go on swiping and you won't even know what you are spending. So as this is a new segment which is coming up in India, and all of us have to get used to it. So I have, in fact, I just when they came to me for consultation, I told them at the end of the month, after your expenses, start putting aside 20%, and then we will get into a smaller amount of whatever is comfortable to you on a monthly, keep putting aside. Today we all have this, I'm sure SIP is something everybody has heard of, systematic investment plan. And once you are comfortable, you reach a stage, start building in a smaller amount depending on your comfort and start putting aside every month. And this 50% formula also keep following, and you know, over a period of time you'll be able to build a nice kitty.
Good.
That is the way to go about it.
So,
yeah.
You know, the crux of the entire narrative what you gave, Shrikala, is that financial planning starts with you and ends with you, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like the saying that goes, which is that you can take the horse to the water, you can't make it drink. So similarly, if you don't build in that financial discipline, then nobody else can inculcate it in you, right?
Very true, yes.
Cool. Thanks a lot. That was a great conversation.
Yes, thank you so much, Rava. And once again, thank you for having me on the show. And all the best for your future career and episodes.
Hope you enjoy listening to Mrugashira, a podcast for communication folks. Do share your suggestions and feedback on mrugashira@digitales.co.in. Have a great week ahead, and do not forget to tune in next week. Adios.